Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is the Anointing Full Gospel Center coming to you presenting the Anointed Women's Ministry. We just thank God for you taking your time out with us, with Chief Apostle and Overseer Margaret L. Moore, who is over the Anointing Full Gospel Center. We just want to say thank you, and we just thank you for joining me, Tracy, on this Friday afternoon. We pray that your day, your week is going well. We pray for you. We thank God for you for just taking your time out with us this day. Today is April the 21st, and again, we just thank God for just being alive another day. We thank God because God is God who sits on the throne. Jesus is Lord, and we just honor him today. We just bless him because there are some things in which God will reveal to us. There are some things that God will, he will show us that we don't know, things about ourselves, questions we may ask, and God is the one who holds the answers. So I'm just thankful on how God will reveal himself, how he will show us the way that we should go. He will give us to know, go right instead of left, go this place instead of that place. And the one thing I love about God is that you cannot say that because this is how it was yesterday, then that's how it's always going to be. No, the Bible gives us to know that we are led by the Spirit. However the Spirit leads, that's where we follow. And we cannot just assume anything. We can't assume anything about people, circumstances, situations. We've got to know who we're dealing with. We've got to know the facts. And because God knows that we are limited and because he is unlimited, he comes and he bids us to sit with him. He bids us to come and fellowship at his table. Why? Because he knows that we don't know the way. We only see on the outside. But God being all powerful, all-knowing, all-seeing, he sees the hearts of man, just like he told Samuel. When Samuel was going to go to Jesse's house to anoint the king that God had already appointed, Samuel saw on the outside. But God told him that we being limited, if I can paraphrase it, we being limited, we can only see on the outside. But God can see the heart. And so with today's topic, I want to share with you again, as all of them are, just testimony, sharing with all of you that who are you dealing with? Who are you dealing with? Are you dealing with makers, shakers, takers? Who are you dealing with? Because a lot of the times, if we are not careful, and this is what I have to learn, and it became clear to me when I was involved in a situation with people, we've all been there, whether it be friendships, whether it be relationships, whether it be family members, whomever it is who's in our circle, that we just, or people we cross our paths and then we end up establishing relationships with simply because we go off on the outside. And what God is teaching us and what he's taught me in being at the church through my leader, and that is just because this is who you are, because you will sacrifice and be there for someone. Just because this is how you are doesn't mean that everybody's heart is the same. And in a very familiar passage in the Word of God, which is Matthew chapter 7, verse 15 through 18, it reads, "Beware of false prophets." And as we know, prophets are those in whom who speak as they hear God speak. Now, there are false prophets. There are those who speak falsely of what they is not what God is saying. Now, as I've learned, is how to bring things to ourselves, how to make it personal, because God's word is to me, you, and to everybody else. And to make it personal is, who are we dealing with? Who are we allowing to influence us? And we have got to also take the responsibility for ourselves. Do we really know who we're dealing with? Have we asked those questions? Especially what I've learned as women. We can tell everything. That's just the truth. I look back on my own personal life and relationships I've had in the past. I knew more about me and my environment because that's what I talked about. I talked about me, talked about the weather, talked about the job. I talked about what I went through before, but I had no idea who I was dealing with because I didn't take the time to ask the questions. And that is what we have got to do. We've got to know who we're dealing with. Because before we came on today, I was thinking about, you know, when I was younger and how, you know, we're taught, you know, and embracing everybody and in the sense of being taught as a young child. Everybody's different. But I don't know about you. I need to understand the how. Yeah, I know everybody's different, but because every single one of us have been influenced by our experiences, by our own environment, by our ways of how we were brought up in our household. So my knowledge of knowing everybody's different could just be very superficial. And it could be, okay, well, this person is a boy, I'm a girl, this person likes math, I like science. We're different. Instead of being able to be taught what that means, being able to understand that this is who you are, and understanding we live in a world whose motives, whose hearts, the scriptures give us to understand that whatever is within you, if you are a fruit, for example, if you are an apple tree, you cannot bear an orange. You cannot bear a pear because of who you are. Whatever is within you, that is what you're going to produce. And then the latter part of these verses, again, the topic is coming out of Matthew 7, verse 15 through 18. And it says, which come to you in sheep's clothing? And sheep's clothing is something that what we can look at it today, it's very, you know, it's very innocent. It's something that you could be receptive to. It's not something that you would even shy away from simply because it bears that appearance of comfortability. And then it goes forth and even to say, but inwardly they are ravaging wolves. And that key word is inwardly. Inwardly are the things in which we don't see. Inwardly are the things in which that we as humans are limited to be aware of, to know about. But God is teaching us that giving us to know. We live in a world with people. People have different motives. People have different things, but there's always going to be two. I've been taught at church, and I am so grateful because the enemy will want to make us believe there are so many choices that we have. There is 10 over here, 5 over here, 20 back there. You've got all these choices to make a decision. What does that do? It brings confusion. And God is not the author of confusion. But the only thing that we have, you have two choices. And you have two kinds of people, whether their heart is good or whether their heart is evil. And whatever is within the heart is going to produce in the characteristics. That's the key. Because we do not have the power to see the inward. We don't have that. Which is the reason why if we take a moment, that why it's important for us to take the time to get within ourselves. It's not something that is going to happen overnight. It takes the time into understanding who we are. Because what I've taught, I'm telling you, at church, I learned it at church, and what was very important and striking to me as a single woman is that if we don't know who we are and what causes us to do the things that we do, then a man on the opposite end can see can see the eagerness, can see all of that, can see and then take advantage. And then I wondered, well, why is this happening over and over and over again? Because we have got to take the time to recognize what's in our inwardness, to know who we are. Because if you know who you are, then at that point, when you look at others and you see the fruit that they bear, you already know that's not going to mix well with who you are. It's not going to be equal. It's not going to be balanced. And so going forward into the verses, it says, verse 16, ye shall know. Ye shall know. And that knowing, and I know Elder Harrison always encourages us, it's in the knowing. You got to know. And the knowing is a part of the word knowledge. Also facts. That gives us to know that, look, do I have the facts about this? Samuel, in that example I gave earlier, Samuel assumed that these handsome, them, you know, they look like they have the appearance of a king. Oh, they must be it. But God knew they were not. And so God gives us the ability to know by getting the facts. We've got to know some things about this person. Know about what? We even shared last week about how valuable we are, how precious we are to God. God does not want us to take this preciousness of who he's called us to be and give it to those who are not going to value it. And so this week, sharing the testimony of, look, recognize that there are different people out there whose hearts are not in the right place as yours may be. You may desire to have something, but that doesn't mean that that same person has the same motives as you do. And I've seen it. I've had eyewitness experiences where women have been in relationships for almost a decade to find out that that man was never willing to commit. And we can look at it and say, well, how come she didn't recognize it then? How we want to put our two cents in it? But what things have we allowed? What people we've allowed? Because we didn't know. And that's why it's important to understand the knowing. Get the facts. Ask the questions. Because if not, what's going to happen is that we're going to be repeating the same cycle, being in the same relationship, friendships over and over and over again. And what ends up happening, what came out of this for me, or what was a part of it, or where this came from, was I was in that place. I was in that place of hurt, discouragement, because I assumed that this is how things were going to be. I assumed the relationships would last. I could not fathom this. But God and his loving kindness and a righteous leader took the time to open my eyes to understand something that was so powerful and yet is so able to comprehend. And that is, look, not everybody has the same heart. Stand that. And so being able to come into that knowledge helped me to be free from that place of bondage, because I was holding on, or I was so upset because this thing wasn't what I expected it to be. But when you come into the knowing of something, then that's when the awareness comes in. That's when we're able to be aware. And I'm pretty sure all of us have had experiences. I know I have. I've heard experiences with those that are older and wiser than me have said, look, I can tell this person from afar. I can tell how they act. I can tell how they talk. I can tell how they carry themselves. I know exactly the kind of person that they are, and I'm not going to deal with them. That's the wisdom. That's the knowledge that they have gained through the things that they've gone through. And it is a blessing to be able to be taught those things. Because we are born in this world. We don't have the wisdom and the knowledge of those who have gone before us. And that's the encouragement that God gives us in today, is to be aware, to know. Ask the questions. Like I said earlier, I know for me, I didn't ask no questions of the guys that I was dating. Absolutely the basic ones. but nothing that would literally give me the answers that I needed to be able to make a conscious decision if this person is going to be beneficial for me. That's the question. Because do any of us want to waste our time in the same thing over and over again? But when we learn about this is what I need for me, for you, then you can be able to ask those questions and be confident in asking those. That's what I had to get to, be confident in asking those questions. Because you're worth it. You're important for it. Because I rest assured, people have no problem asking you the questions that they need to benefit themselves. And then we walk away feeling like, I didn't get what I need. Or I just, something feels like it's been taken from me. Or I've given away something and I'm lacking. That's it. Given away something that's lacking. Now we're lacking. But God wants us to know that what he has given us, now you got to be aware of who you're dealing with, who you allow in your circle, and who you choose to give yourself to. And verse 16 goes on to say, ye shall know them by their fruit. Do men gather grapes? And what that scripture is talking about, and we can look at the example with human beings. If I say that I am a good person, if I say that I serve God and I do well and all these things I'm saying just sound good, but then my actions show that I'm conniving, deceitful, manipulative, lying, stealing, all those things. That's what that scripture is talking about, that you can't produce the opposite of something. Like I mentioned earlier, you can't produce what pears from an apple tree. That's not possible. And so if a person has good within their heart, they don't have to, then you're going to see that fruit in them. That's just who they are. But if a person's heart is not right, and the scripture, even in these latter scriptures, goes on to say, if it's evil, that's what's going to be produced. And we just got to accept this is the world we live in. This is Satan's kingdom here. Just because that we have been blessed to be saved, it doesn't mean everybody else is. We will have the biggest desires and intentions for those to be saved and those to, you know, do right. But the reality of it is you got to accept it for what it is. Accept it. You will be better off for it. And then the latter part of the scriptures goes on to say, ye shall know them by their fruit. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Verse 17, even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit. And so again, when you're dealing with someone that you may have just met, and if their heart is good, the questions you ask, you're getting to know them, you're watching them. I know my pastor teaches us, look, get so caught up in what people say. Watch them. Learn about the things that they do. See what they're doing. That will give you to know the fruit that they bear. And so going on, it says, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. And so we can assume something about a person and just automatically think that that's what it is. Exactly. And I've been there. Taking it for face value, thinking that, oh, he said this, this is what it appeared, this is how the first date was, oh, he's just the best thing, and all this stuff. But you soon find out he ain't had no car. That car was an exit. Probably the girl that he was dating when he met you, I'm talking about me, all of that stuff, simply because we didn't know who we were dealing with. But they knew. They knew. They saw it. And so when we come to that place of truth of recognizing who we are, accepting it, change whatever needs to be changed, and then learning, taking the time, and no, you don't have to rush. I know society puts this time limit on women for children and or careers and all this stuff. Remember, that's the trick of the enemy. The enemy would want us to be rushed and pushed and forth, because I can most likely guarantee, if we all have been in a place where we've rushed and made a decision, I'm pretty sure it was not successful. Why? Because that's what the enemy wants, to make us be so clouded and distorted to the point we make this rough decision, and then we come to find out that wasn't the right decision. So take your time. Know that whatever God has for us, it is good. We don't have to be rushed in accomplishing anything. And then also going on to the latter part of the verses, and it says, verse 18, a good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. So what does that say for us in our everyday lives? That's why it's key and it's important. It's in the Word of God. Take your time. Take your time, because that maker means that particular person loves you, supports you, will work with you, willing to make things work. You're going to see that, because when that's who they are, it doesn't matter whether you're in their presence or not. Their reputation will showcase who they are. But when they are like the latter part of this verse goes on to explain and say, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. So that's that wolf in sheep's clothing. That person's character whose heart is not right, whose heart is evil, their character is going to show one way or another. They can hide one way or another. We can even look at it. You know, people would wear masks at times. They don't wear that mask 24/7 physically. They got to eventually take it off. Why? Because it gets uncomfortable. That mask gets uncomfortable. You know, sometimes, I know me, I was a child, you wear masks. I know people in Mardi Gras, they wear masks in just different events. They would wear masks. But I'm pretty sure you ask any of them, could they wear that mask for the rest of their lives and be comfortable? Absolutely not, because it gets hot, it gets sweaty, it gets comfortable, all of the above. And we can tie that into our day-to-day lives and who we meet. Don't be in such of a rush to be with that person or to make something work, because what's going to happen is that you're soon going to see that mask come off, because they can't remain in that, because it's not true to who they are. If you got a thief and they try to make it seem like they're holier than thou and they can do all this, eventually it's going to come out. Judas Issachar. Eventually the truth is going to come out in who you truly are. And God, this is the important thing about it, is God knew. Jesus knew who Judas Issachar was. The other disciples didn't. That's why we have to take his word for faith. Take it. Take his word. Behold his word. Eat of him. Why? Because he knows. And he does not want us to be the ravaging wolves' next meal. Remember, the Bible gives us to know that the enemy comes to kill, steal, and to destroy. And my pastor teaches us that. And teaches us that the enemy cannot count past three. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. That's three. And that gives us to know. Be aware of the enemy's tactics. If you know you're a passive person, be aware. Are you entertaining a maker, or are you entertaining the other one, a shaker, a person who would mix with you? Could even be, I'm going to go into the book, but it goes on to say, could be emotionally unstable. One minute they can roll with you and they got things going. They can help you do this. The next minute they are unstable. Are they just a taker? A taker is an individual who just seeks out for themselves. A person who can even be considered an egotist. We'll get into that as well. When we recognize that this is real, these are people that are out there, and God has equipped us with the tools we need to not be the ravaging wolves' next meal, we will be better off for it. But God wants us to come into that knowledge of that, so we won't be the enemy's next meal. How are we the enemy's next meal? You go in blindsided thinking that this person is someone of your best interest. You think they have the same motives and desires that you are. But I beg to ask this question. How do you know if you never ask? That's why it's important to ask. A lot of the times, and I had to be taught this, a lot of the times we go into jobs and we don't even ask the amount of money we desire to make. We'll lowball it. And the company was prepared to offer you that high salary because we didn't ask. We said, we could get it. But I bet you oftentimes our other counterparts will. I saw a study just yesterday on that very same topic. Woman of God, be confident in who God has called you. Chief Apostle always teaches us to know how valuable we are, how important we are, and not to belittle that, but to come up in walking in confidence in who we are. So before we run out of time, I want to go into the book, and it is, if you have your books, it's on page 44, and quote, it reads, take time to analyze all facts and reason as to why you should commit to a long-term relationship. There are four kinds of people, and this is another thing I wanted to bring out as well. And it says takers, shakers, breakers, and makers. Takers are usually not givers. Shakers are usually extremely emotional. Breakers are usually selfish and unconcerned. Makers are usually heartful and willing and agreeable in making things work. Therefore, when dealing with any of these four, it's wise to have the best and adequate knowledge needed to recognize the difference between them. Additionally, it may be in your best interest, my best interest, to know whether the person is indeed capable in being committed in a relationship or just a committer. And we'll go over that another week about that because that is an extremely important statement there. But it goes on to say, you have the right to live life to its fullest. Therefore, don't make these differences, don't take these differences lightly. Excuse me. Get up from where you are mentally, emotionally, physically, and psychologically, and let's get going. Because you win, you are a survivor. That encompasses the understanding that, look, we are not alone in this, but God has equipped us with being able to get the knowledge or all the facts of who we're dealing with. Because like I shared with you, this was a testimony that I had over almost 10 years ago, if not close to 10 years ago, that my pastor and God was such an experience that taught me these things. And I am grateful for that. And I encourage all of us to know, get all the facts. It doesn't matter what it is, who it is, what it looks like, what you feel your time is running out, what you think you may not be able to, that you're deserving or your desire to fall in short and you're not going to get it. No, that's a lie from the pit of hell. What God has intended, it is. But take the time to invest. And that's another thing in the book I want to talk about, but that's going to be another time about investing. We've got to invest in who we are. And these are steps in how to do it. So I pray that you all were encouraged by it and even just to know on how much God wants us not to be Satan prey and being, because again, he's a ravaging wolf. We've got to understand and be able to recognize that. So again, I pray you're encouraged by it. I pray that this will help us all because it truly was a blessing to me when it was first introduced to me. So that helped me. So I pray that this will be a help to you. And we just thank God for this opportunity. So Heavenly Father, we come before you, Lord, in the mighty name of your Son, Jesus Christ, thanking you for this day, for this opportunity, for your people, my Lord. We thank you because we are not ourselves, but we thank you that we are safe in the hollow of your hands. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that whatever needed to be said will be an encouragement to your people, that we will see the world the way you want us to see it, the way we're meant to walk, because God, you have given us your Son. You have given us the best out of heaven. So I pray that they will be blessed, they'll be strengthened, encouraged, whatever is needed. We pray that from on high you will bless your people. So we thank you for this. We honor you and we bless you, God. In Jesus Christ's mighty name, amen. So again, the Anointing Full Gospel Center and the Anointing Women's Ministry just thanks you for taking this time out again to share your lunch time with us. So we thank you. Be blessed until the next time.